Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out. Hey guys, so today's episode of Behind the Scenes podcast, we have some guests on the show that you may know. We are talking with Jana Kramer and her husband, Mike. Mike and Jana have just an awesome story, and we were just super encouraged by their vulnerability and their honesty, and you're going to want to definitely listen to this episode if you've ever just been through a really rough spot in your relationship, specifically if you've ever struggled with infidelity or trust issues or how to regain trust and rebuild trust in your relationship. So definitely tune in. They have just lots of insightful, encouraging things to share. You may know Jana. She is also a big time country singer, and you also might know her from the TV show One Tree Hill. She is an entrepreneur herself and the co-founder of Moms with Babes Boxes. And of course, Mike and Jana have their own podcast together called Wind Down. And Jared and I had the chance to be on that podcast a few weeks back while we were on book tour in Los Angeles. And it was just so fun to connect with them in real life. So really excited to have them on the show today. And we know that your guys are going to love it.
All right. Here's our conversation with Mike and Jana. All right, Jana and Mike.
Hi.
It's a pleasure having you.
Hey,
hey guys.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah, we're definitely stoked. We're stoked to be swapping podcasts too, I think,
oh,
if we're allowed
to
say that.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we're so excited to have you on Wind Down too. It's going to be awesome.
Yes, so good. So
yeah,
good.
It'll be good.
Well, thank you guys so much for being on, and we're just excited to talk to you guys about all things love story and marriage and relationships and just all that. But before we dive in, we wanted to give you guys a chance to just, for our listeners that don't know who you are, which that's probably
very possible
fewer than, but just give us a quick, like, state of the union, who you guys are, where you live, what you do.
Well, Michael, would you like to go first?
Go ahead, honey.
Okay. Yes.
I'm from, and forgive my nose. Sorry, I just am getting over a head cold.
No worries.
I am from Michigan, and we're living right now in Los Angeles, but we're moving back to Nashville. But I think what people probably know me from the most is I was on One Tree Hill. I did that for a couple of years, and then worked my way into country music. Did that for. And I'm still releasing songs, but I've got two platinum selling singles in the country world. So that's been awesome.
Boom.
And had to drop that little platinum.
Yeah.
And then worthy of some praise there.
Absolutely.
But now, I mean, you know, I'm kind of doing everything. I'm still acting. I'm still singing. I'm still, you know, I have obviously a podcast with my husband, and we have some really exciting things coming up. But I think for me, my favorite job is I'm a mom to two beautiful kids, and I love sharing that life. Baby.
Yeah.
Well said, honey. Yes. Myself, I am Jana's husband.
Oh, you're more than that, babe.
No, for me, I played in the NFL for 5 years. That was my profession at a young age. And I was fortunate and blessed enough to spend the amount of time I did doing that and living out my dream. Towards the end of my career is when I met Jana, and kind of from that, I retired and got into the medical sales field for a little bit. But now we live in Los Angeles. I'm from East Coast. I'm from Virginia, Northern Virginia, just outside DC. But now with Jana and I just kind of building a brand together, I left the medical field and just kind of dove into to the podcast and everything else that we're doing. You know, it started off me just kind of coming on her podcast every now and then, just kind of for fun. And we realized we had something there, and it turned into, you know, we got a lot of traction, and people really took to our authenticity and vulnerability with our story. And, you know, we just kind of embraced it. So that's where we're at now.
And awesome. So you guys, it's your guys' podcast together, right? And do you have guests on the show too?
Yes. Yeah. We interview some celebrities. We interview a lot of therapists.
I love that.
Yeah. And, you know, anything kind of in that realm, from relationships to fitness to life to just, you know.
Parenting. Anything. I mean, really nothing's off limits for us. We try to keep it, you know, I'm sure like you guys, you try to keep it in brand a little bit. You know, we obviously every now and then you have somebody that gets booked and you don't really know the correlation, but it's a good opportunity to learn and experience other people and to find a connection with another human being who might be doing something completely different than what you do or what you're interested in. So it's fun.
Right.
Definitely. And that's arguably one of the lost arts of society these days, right? Is being able to talk to people.
No
question.
That you know, it's might just, not. Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally. Especially where were we the other day? I mean, I looked up and every single person was on their phone and I was just like, what happened? What was the time before cell phones? Like people would actually be talking, right? We were at the Crabtree's house, babe. It was literally everyone was on their phone. I was just like, this is sad.
Yeah. For sure.
We have a date night rule.
We have this whole actually chapter in our book where we just talk about what the phone is doing to love stories.
It's just crazy.
Because in 5 years, I mean, we're going to look back and be like, whoa, how did we not see that coming?
Mm-hmm. It's so true. When does your book come out?
April 2nd.
Yay.
Coming up.
I think it will be out by the time this airs.
By the time this airs, it'll probably be out for a couple weeks by now. But
yes. So are you, do you actually write love letters in, or what is it like the premise? Sorry, I know this is, we're so
yeah,
sweet.
Just a little quick refresher.
Totally, yeah. So yeah, flip the script, right? A love letter life. So the title has letter in it, but long story short, we want to inspire and ignite people to write beautiful, one-of-a-kind love stories. We believe that everyone's love story is the primary avenue in which we get to demonstrate not just love for each other, but love for Christ to the world. And it's just this beautiful display we get to do, and there's a lot that can be done through that. But the love letters come through... first of all, we do still write letters, but we did 3 years of long distance and we wanted to write letters because it seemed just more meaningful than texting each other. And then that kind of translated into like, well, wow, like letters are really meaningful. And, we want our love story to be like a love letter, intentional, thoughtful, patient, sometimes inconvenient, but worth it, valuable, mm-hmm. and treasured. And so that's kind of where the title came from, but
I love that. And I have so many questions, but you're going to have to listen to Wind Down to hear the answers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. So now flip the script back on you guys.
We want to get into your guys' story here, but Nashville, why are you guys moving back to Nashville? Cause we love Nashville. I just want to know why.
We love it so much.
Yeah, we love it. Music? After spending 2 years, we spent 3 years there together. Jana lived there for like 6 years. The last three was with me. And we've been in Los Angeles now 2 years. And we had to kind of do
a reset button for Mike and I. We're like, we just want fresh memories, fresh starts. So we're like, let's go to LA. And then things kind of started changing for me a little bit. And I'm just like, man, like we love Nashville. All our friends are there. It's a great way of living.
Yeah. You know, we were raised a certain way. You know, we were raised where you could hop on your bike and ride it to your friend's house. Well, you can't do that in Los Angeles.
No.
You know, just like anybody, you want the positive things in your life as a child and your upbringing, you want that for your kids. You want to mirror that. So little things like that, Jana and I just had, you know, we had many discussions about it. It's like, what do we want for our kids? And when we had number two on the way is when we really started thinking about it. We're like, if we don't do this in the near future, next thing you know, it's 5 years later and we're stuck out here. You know, we really wanted to kind of make that move and make that decision.
And then when we looked at Zillow, we were like, that's what we can afford there versus here. Yeah. We're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
So
it's like, I don't know if you guys know this too, but it's crazy out here in Oregon. Like, I mean, we lived in LA and obviously LA is a different beast of its own, but real estate here in Oregon is out of this world insane. We go anywhere and we're like, there's no way you can buy a house for that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just so wild. Like the West Coast is just
something about it. It's crazy. I mean, we never would have been able to afford the house that we're building, you know, there here and to have it look the same. So we're, and again, just the schools are going to be so amazing. They're all public and beautiful and rated fantastic. So we're pumped.
Awesome.
Excited for you guys. That's awesome.
Yes. Well, hey, let's dive into your guys' love story a little bit. We kind of want to give you some space here to just tell us. I guess we'll pick up where we left off. You guys met, and you, Mike, you were still playing football, you mm-hmm. said, I believe. So, mm-hmm. like, how'd you guys start dating? What's that process look like? When did you get engaged? Was it a long engagement?
Yeah.
Lead us in all, yeah.
Lead us up to now.
Yeah, classic love story. You know, I slid into her DMs on Twitter.
Yes.
Boom.
Yeah, modern day love story. And yeah. So to fast forward through that, I mean, we connected via Twitter. 4 days later, I flew out to a show to see her. And kind of the rest was history from that point on. I mean, we had a very accelerated timeline and we just fell for each other hard quick. And I mean, it was after 10 days, we said, I love you. At that time, I'd gotten released from the Buffalo Bills and signed with the Redskins. And so then I got hurt in Washington at the beginning of the season. And I was like, well, you know, we like where this is going. We had some issues that did come up, but ultimately I was like, I want to spend my life with you. I'm going to move to Nashville. Wow. And so we did that, and that was in October. December, we got engaged. May, we
what
got
year?
December of 14.
Nice.
Yeah, December 14, we got engaged. May of 15, we got married. A month later, we found out we were pregnant.
Wow.
So oh, wow.
This was all basically any major life decision you can make. We
so
made,
you did
we
have
made,
an accelerated
timeline. We made it in like 12 months. So.
you did have an accelerated timeline.
Yes,
we did.
That's a lot to digest in 1 year.
Yeah. So it was a lot.
So
yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot. But I think like, I mean, I definitely, you know, I kind of knew at that point. I'm like, all right, I'm in my 30s. I know what I want. Like there's, I just feel like when you know, it's like, there's just no time. Like, especially with my eggs too. I'm like, they're dying up. You know, I'm like, if you're either the one or you're not, move on. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's start making some babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. She knew what she wanted. And I was a late 20. I was like, what, 28?
Yeah.
You were
my little boy.
So I was still, you know, figuring some things out in my life and obviously transitioning to the only career
For
I ever
sure.
knew. So,
right.
But like Jana said, That's she knew what huge. She wanted. She's like, kind of get on the boat or get out.
And were you guys very like talkative? Like at that point, were you just like pro communicators right off the bat? Or was it, you know, like how'd you kind of get to the point of knowing all this so quickly?
Feeling? We were good communicators from our feelings, yes. Until adversity hits, then as you guys I'm sure know, it's a different beast mm-hmm. when it comes to communication. But no, we just, from the beginning, you know, we were very honest on who we were and who we had been in previous relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we actually kind of embraced that in one another. We're like, hey, we're not trying to put on a facade and say, I've been this perfect, you know, significant other in all my relationships. Like, no, I've messed up. I've made mistakes, this, that, and the other. And we embraced mm-hmm. that in one another. And that's kind of what really connected us initially off the bat.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's something that I've loved just in the bits and pieces that we know about your guys' story from what you guys have been so honest about and vulnerable to share, you know, online and mm-hmm. and in social media and whatever. Like, it probably, I'm assuming, translates over to your own relationship, just like your guys' willingness to be honest with each other and vulnerable with each other and in doing that, kind of being able to have that accelerated, you know.
Yeah. For sure. It's been a learning, obviously, as you guys know, with you know, infidelity and affairs and issues that I've had and that we've had in our relationship. It's, you know, the communication aspect, we're still learning. I mean, we're trying to communicate yesterday and certain things on how we get triggered or what comes up for us individually and whether it past trauma or whatever it may be or how we interpret something. It's hard to communicate. It really is. And last night we gotten kind of into a little tiff because I was kind of more defensive and overly sensitive to something when I made up or I projected what she was, you know, saying to me, and it was just a miss. And those things happen. Mm-hmm. But it's about learning and learning for the next time on how to address it. But
go on, Jen.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, like, I just think, like, you know, were we the great communicators in the beginning? I think we tried, but I think over the years, especially in the last you know, year and a half, 2 years is when we've really made our impact on being better communicators and learning the tools on how to get there. So I would say in the past, honestly, the past year has been the best that we've really just, you know, tried to listen to the other person's feelings and to try to communicate from a better place. But it's taken, you know, what, 4 years to get there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I love that because you're trying. Yeah. But hold on, babe, before we kind of roll on this, back up a little bit and kind of tell us exactly for the listeners and people that might not know your guys' story, what the story is. Because Mike, as you mentioned, there was mm-hmm. some infidelity. You guys have been very open about the struggle. You guys are still together. You're making it work. And before we kind of get into how, and we want to learn from you guys through just share a little bit about what exactly happened and kind of catch the listeners
what you feel comfortable sharing, yeah. obviously. No, and, you know, yeah. But
we're very, as you guys know, very open and comfortable just because we've addressed it. You know, we've been through it time and time again with each other. So we don't get as, you know, triggered or anything when we discuss it. But no, throughout our relationship, it got to a point where I was in a bad place and having affairs, and, you know, there's infidelity throughout the majority of our relationship and our marriage, that later on got discovered in the summer of 2016. 16. Yeah. So, it was tough. It was, you know, I ended up
super
seeking
tough.
Treatment for sex addiction and did inpatient treatment for 60 days. And that's something where, you know, originally came across as kind of an ultimatum by Jana. It's like, you need to go figure out what's going on or I'm gone. And so at that point, I'm willing to save face and try to do anything I can. And it wasn't, thank goodness she did, because then I was able to learn more about myself and kind of where my issues come from. So that's a part of it that not everybody kind of addresses or knows per se, is the addiction piece of it. But it's just, you know, I made a lot of bad choices. And the most unfortunate part of it is, like I was talking about Jan and I's relationship, we were able to connect so quickly because, like I said, we're able to be honest with one another and, you know, appreciate who each other were in previous relationships and that we were so honest about that we weren't great, you know, significant others. So it's unfortunate that Jana was able to do the work and change for me, and I wasn't able to change for her. And so that's still something to this day that kind of brings shame and guilt kind of for me and pain, that knowing that Jana did so much work and really, really, really tried. And, you know, little did I know at the time that it was an addiction aspect to it, but still it's, you know, I'm still an adult and I can make decisions and choices, and I made the wrong ones. So it's difficult.
So, yeah. What do you think was kind of like the best or most helpful thing that Jana did for you during that time? Like, was there anything, I'm just thinking through this. Was there anything that was just like, wow, that was
like encouraging you to go, or maybe,
well,
just,
I'm thinking just the fact that she said like, go get help or I'm leaving. Like she gave you an option.
Yeah. It's during that time. I mean, it was pretty, we didn't really have much communication. Mm-hmm. Right, honey. I mean, she just wasn't ready. She was too hurt, and I understand that. Sure. Yeah. And so, I wrote her a letter. Like you guys are talking about love letters, I wrote her a letter every single day. And when I was gone, when I was away, and that's something I told her from the beginning. And in her mind, she was kind of like, "Yeah, right. We'll see."
Yeah,
and
right.
She's told me to this day that one of the reasons that she decided to give it a shot was because my letters.
Yeah, I mean, he would call me from treatment, but I wouldn't pick up the phone. So I would wait. I would wait for the mailbox every day at 3 o'clock because I knew that's when the mail guy was coming. So I wasn't ready to talk to him, but I wanted to read his letters.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's something about those letters.
There really is. I mean, to what you guys are talking about. So it's that I think there wasn't much communication. I mean, the only thing I had to hang on to was that I didn't have divorce papers in front of me. Honestly, that was the only thing. So during that time, it was so bad that it wasn't necessarily anything that she did. It was the fact that she was willing to fight enough because she didn't send me papers. And I was willing to follow through and fight to get my wife, to get my family back.
Yeah. So Jana, what made you like, I'm just curious, you know, did you have friends and family sort of like pushing you to to make it work or to leave? Or did you just, was this like a decision that you had, you know, on your own? You were like, I have to make it work. I have to fight for this. Or like, what made you stay? And I'm sure you get asked that a lot, but.
No, my daughter is how I stayed. I had every single friend telling me to leave. I had my lawyer saying you need to file immediately. I mean, I had, you know, from every single friend to
family
being like, wow, you need to leave. Like, he's not going to change. Sorry. And then, but it was just, you know, I came from a divorced family, and I wanted to be able to look in my daughter's eyes and say, I tried, like I gave it a shot, because it's so easy to leave nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so easy. It's so easy to get a divorce and be like, that's it. I'm done. Yeah. 'Cause I had every reason to leave. I had every reason to walk away.
Yeah.
But my therapist said, give it 1 year after a big traumatic thing like this, like you need to give it a year. And I'm like, to me, that just sounded crazy. But
wow,
I just, there was something in my heart that I had to, that just told me it wasn't done yet. We weren't done. Wow. And, you know, again, my daughter, I just didn't want that for her. I wanted to be like, you know, if we were to get divorced now, yes, it would be awful, but I could say we tried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can, yeah.
You gave it everything
that,
you could,
you know, like, right. And I could live with that decision.
Right. Yeah. No, that's.
Yeah. Wow. This is extremely, extremely powerful. Like, what an insane testimony to be able to work through it and then be where you guys are at now, when, to your point, it is, I mean, we're in a culture of, if it's broke, get a new one. Right. Like, we don't know, not only do we not fix anything anymore, we don't know how.
Yeah.
And it hasn't really been modeled very well. And to see people like you guys modeling the process and the steps to get past something this intense is just remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to like, would you guys have anything to share with us and our listeners as like, what were kind of some steps taken that you found were helpful or useful to process shame, process guilt, process forgiveness? Like, what are just kind of
regain trust, or even if you're there yet? I mean,
like,
we don't know.
Like, five things you had to share with us and people. What would they kind of be? Let's kind of hang out here for just a minute.
I think, go ahead. No,
oh, I would just say, first off, it's time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I would say to my therapist, you know, she'd say, it's going to take time. I'm like, no, I'm always going to think about what he did every second of every single day. And now it's like, maybe I only think about it once a day or every other day, where it's like, but truly time lessens that intensity.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, the building blocks, like we talk about. So it's, if he does something that is, I mean, how do I say that? Like,
it's basically kind of like along with Jana's saying, it's not making any decisions and giving it time. And so with the building blocks, it's all right. You know, what our therapist would tell Jana is, look, when he does something to build a block of trust, you can't take that and be like, and believe that you're going to feel 100% trust right away. You have to take it piece by piece, and knowing that each situation and each scenario is just one Lego piece that you're putting on top of the other. So it's not like I do something right and all of a sudden it's like, you can trust me, which is a battle for both of us, which is kind of how I would be at the beginning when I was trying to learn patience and practice patience, excuse me. And for her to learn as well, to know that she's not going to feel this rush of trust just because I did one thing right. So it's just kind of playing that back and forth, a cat and mouse game of just together having the patience to put these things one after the other consistently. And that is the thing, is just consistency with these building blocks. And like Jana said, it really hasn't been until the last year that we've been able to be consistent, and I've been able to be consistent with showing her these changes.
But how do you think you got out of your, because that's you getting out of your shame. So what was it that like got you out of your shame? Or not that, like, because you still go in at times, but like, what was it like where, so that you didn't live in that? Because that's where you were living the past like year after rehab, you know?
It was learning how to, instead of feel shame, like lean into empathy. And so instead of thinking about how I was feeling in a moment or how a situation made me feel, trying to do the work to be like, wait, enough about me. How does this make Jana feel? Like, yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, I can't imagine like being in her shoes and feeling this and experiencing that. So it really wasn't until I was able to flip that switch in my brain and consciously tell myself that, wait, how does she feel? How does this make her feel? Wow. That I was really able to get out of that shame on a consistent basis.
Hey guys, wanted to take a quick break from this episode to tell you about our brand new Love More sweatshirts that just launched a few weeks ago, and we are so excited about them. This sweatshirt was inspired by our book, A Love Letter Life, and it was exclusively given as a gift to people who have inspired and mentored us and encouraged us along the journey of writing this book. But because of an outpouring of requests to sell it in our shop, we decided to make it available to everyone. So these Love More crew neck sweatshirts with embroidered typewriter font are a daily reminder that you can always love more. So grab one for you and your loved one. They're super soft and cozy. We promise you'll never want to take it off. Head to alwaysmore.com to get one for you and your loved one. And I can only imagine like just the like effects that would have, or I don't know, Jana, like on you, like were there times where like that shame and guilt like that he was feeling that you used as leverage, or like was that like how do you let that go and sort of move towards forgiving him and receiving him in this new light, like building block after building block, you know?
Yeah, I think it's just about like seeing, because you know sometimes the blocks would come down and it's just, you know, you start to think like, God, this is, you know, is this ever gonna get better? But I feel like for us, you know, I was able to see enough consistent change. So, and that he was also, cause you know, I was putting in the work, but he also has to put in his work too. So two people have to be willing to work, because if I was constantly shaming him and yelling at him and screaming at him, well, I wouldn't want him to stay in that relationship either.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not healthy for him. So like I had to get to a point where I had to do my work to say, okay, I can't do this every day. I can't shame him every single day because it's, you know, it's not going to be helpful for anybody. So I think I had to get to that point, which helped, you know, him find empathy for me.
Yeah. Which to Jana's point, that takes time and a lot of work too, is because initially Jana, you know, the person who's the victim, you don't want to look, you know, you don't want to be introspective and be like, what can I do to help this? You're just sitting there like, no, you did this. Like you caused this, you're the reason. And so I don't blame anybody in that situation, in like Jana's position. Of course, you're going to feel that way. So for Jana to get to the point where she wasn't necessarily pointing the finger as much and able to realize that, hey, I have a part in this. Yes, I didn't do anything. I wasn't the one that caused him to do these behaviors, but I have a part in this now and how we recover together. And if there's a possibility of us, you know, reconciling.
Right.
Yeah. So it sounds like,
wow.
First of all, and Mike, that then goes back to your consistency.
Yeah.
Right? Because it was your consistency that even when the blocks did come down, it helped remind her that they were still there, you know? But also to Jana's point, or to on her side of things, like she obviously wanted reconciliation. So like, was there something, because you guys both obviously, I mean, you wanted to get through this. You wanted that picture, that image at the end, quote unquote, that success of coming through this trial. So did you guys have anything you were like looking for? I mean, I know your daughter was a huge, huge reason for it, but like, because there had to have been something you guys were kind of maybe mentally thinking about. Yeah, go on.
Our daughter was obviously one, but then, you know, we got pregnant again.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's another piece of the story.
Yeah. It was, you know, it was in a time where we were kind of on the outs again a little bit.
We were on the outs. Yeah.
Where it was just like, you know, I'm done pretty much. And then I, you know, ended up getting pregnant again. And that was when everything really, truly shifted for us.
Wow.
Yeah. And, but before that too, to get through that first year, because it wasn't until like a year later that we got pregnant again. That first year, you know, getting through both of our sides of feelings. I mean, we had moments where we prayed together, you know, where it's like, what, like we see therapists, we, you know, we talk to everyone that we can in a support system. I go to meetings, we do this, we do that. Like, you know, what else can we do? And it is at some point we just had to be like, you know what, we're doing everything in our power that we can. We have to count on the man upstairs to, if this is meant to be, he's going to help guide us through this in some way, you know, some way, shape or form. So we had moments where we just had to like let go and just, you know, verbally pray out loud with one another and be like, please like help us like with this. Like, we're both in so much pain in different ways. How is this, how do we live through this?
Wow. Yeah. That's, I mean, it's so beautiful in a way just to see your guys's humility and like to have gone through the struggles that you have and the adversity that you have. Like, I don't know. I feel like people that go through things like this, like they just, they have such a deeper perspective on things and like almost like, and in a way it strengthens you because you guys are having to do all this hard work of going to these therapists and praying together and going to therapy together and processing all of these heavy emotions and things that like, that's a maturing process. That's a growing and refining process that like, you know, the hope is that it ends up working out for the better, you know, at the end of the day. But like, it's just beautiful in a way that like, almost like the struggle and the hardship from it may end up being the thing that makes your marriage stronger than other people's who haven't been through those kinds of things and haven't had to do that kind of hard work on their marriage, you know? Like, it's just,
I remember when this all happened, I was just like, I was envious of the people that had, you know, the happy marriage. And I was just like, why? Like, I wish that was my life, my marriage. Like, and then I look now at those other marriages and I'm like, man, I love our relationship better than those because I'm like, we are on such a deeper level than what, you know, than what I used to be envious of.
And to back up Jana's point, it's interesting because now we're in a place and we hear friends that come to us and maybe vent to us about
the people that wanted us to divorce and said we had a terrible marriage are now coming to us for like help.
For help. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah, guys, what a testimony.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And it's funny because where we kind of realize the shift is that when you first go to therapy, at least in our experience, when you go to whether it's couples or individual, you want to spend majority of the time talking about what your spouse or what your partner is doing wrong and what they do to make you upset or cause you to feel a certain way.
Yeah.
But eventually you get over that hurdle and you realize, wait, I'm not supposed to be in here complaining about my spouse. I'm supposed to be in here working on myself. And so through all the therapy, we were finally able to both get to a place where it's like, we're not going into therapy, going through our phone, writing, you know, remembering all the stuff that the other person said and like, well, they said this and this and this. No, it's like, wait, this is what's going on in my life. This is how it's making me feel.
Yeah.
Let's do some more introspective work and figure it out. Yeah. So I think that's where the shift for us, why we have a couple friends that come to us now, because they might go to therapy, but they're still stuck in the phase of pointing the finger and saying they're doing this and causing me to feel this way. Well, you got to look inside and realize what you can do about it.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you guys have friends now though that are supportive of your decision to, you know, stay together and keep working on things? And do you have people that are encouraging you guys?
100%. Everyone's so proud of both of us. And, you know, I think through our struggles, people have really done introspection on their marriage, which I think has been really cool.
Yeah, for sure. It took time though for family and friends to come around, especially family.
Right. Yeah.
Go on.
No, I was just going to say, but look at us now. Yes.
I mean, I'm just hearing this and I'm like, wow, there is truly glory found on the road less traveled.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's so cool. I had a thought first of all, I was thinking like, it's kind of like, I mean, not to equate marriages to cars, but like if you're given, given a nice car, it's like, I don't know. There's just a less of a intentionality or respect, I guess, that can be found in it. But like when you've got to like work for your car, pay for your car, all those other things, like this is just to draw a parallel with just the amount of work that you guys have put into your marriage. What we were saying a second ago,
you appreciate it more.
About the perspective you guys have now. Wow. People are going to be coming to you for a long, long, long time. It's so cool.
Right.
This,
you know, we should do all of us. We should do like a marriage love counsel. Like we should do like a a weekend thing where we do like a conference and a retreat speech thing, you know?
Fantastic.
Don't tell them that yet.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'm like, it'd be really good.
Yeah.
I love that. No, that's,
I do have a question though. Like, what are your guys' like boundaries right now? Or what were they? Or did you guys not have any? Or do you guys have any now? Is this something you guys talk about? Because we always say, and something we said in our book was, it takes more than trust to protect something. Mm-hmm. And the idea there is like, yeah, you can trust your spouse, but it takes more than trust to protect your marriage. And so like, what are some of your guys' like boundaries? Are you guys, do you guys have any now? Or how are you kind of practically working through this right now?
In the very beginning, there were definitely boundaries for safety for me that were, you know, they may have been extreme. They've lessened now just because, you know, I do trust him more, but you know, there are certain things. Yeah. We have Life 360 on the phone. Just I don't know how it's like a tracking, but it's a,
no, but it that, you know, something like that.
What is it? Honestly, it's better. Cause instead of saying like, hey, when are you going to be home from the grocery store? It's like, oh, I can just pull that up. So
then, no, I love it. What
is it? It's like, is it like Find My Friends or something?
Yeah. It's kind of like Find My Friends. It's life. Okay. It's called Life 360. And that's something
so you can
that
see where they are. Yeah.
When we first got it, it's one of those things because of like my shame and my issues of going through everything. It makes me feel like a kid, like you have to track where I'm at. But again, now it's not about that. It's a boundary. It's safety, where
for sure,
for me, knowing that I'm able to provide that for Jana, knowing that at any moment, if I have bad service or for whatever reason, we haven't communicated in a while and she wants to see where I'm at, I love the fact that she can, because that is a building block in itself for me to say, hey, I'm at this place, and for her to have
so
proof
good
of that and see that. It's like, those are constant building blocks that now we probably don't even acknowledge. But when you see it on the phone and it's validated, you're like, okay. So it's just, it's things like that. It's just being aware of situations or scenarios that we put ourselves in. You know, some situations we just avoid altogether, and you know, whether it's certain social things.
Like I'm not ready yet for him to go to a bar. It's just something that I'm just not ready yet. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't trust. I just right now, you know, maybe the next couple months, maybe in a year, I don't know. But right now, this is just something that I'm just not comfortable with yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, he doesn't fight me on it, which makes me less triggered. So now I'm like, oh, then go, because he doesn't fight me like before. Like, like before he'd be like, I don't understand why I can't, like, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So that makes me like more heightened. But now if I was to say that and he's like, yeah, babe, no worries, I'd be like, well, I mean, actually, like, if you want to go, like, go.
that literally happens. And it's funny. And that's where the shift is, because again, like Jana said at the beginning, I would be a child about it. Like you're telling a kid you can't have ice cream. Like I'm like kicking and screaming in my own way, dude, because I'm being told what I can or can't do. But then again, it's all about, instead of thinking about my feelings, it's like I was talking about earlier, leaning into the empathy of the situation and being like, wait, how does this make Jana feel? Why does she feel this way? Oh, this is why. Okay. I can totally understand why this would feel unsafe to you, or this would be triggering. So honestly, our boundaries, like, there's not really much that's an issue.
No, I mean, it's just open. It's like, hey, this guy texted me, I wanted you to see it. I got a random text message from this one guy. Or like, he'll be like, hey, this girl, I don't know who she is, like, whatever. Like, it's just, I had the wrong number, whatever. And it's just, and he's like, if you want to do more research and look at the phone bill, you can totally do that. So I think it's just having that transparency, whether I want to look at it or not, it's being like, again, here it is. If you want to look at it, it's here. And then I'm like, no, I'm good. Because in the beginning, I'd be like, I would skim through the phone bill. I'm like, I don't want to live my life like that anymore.
No.
Yeah, that's good.
And like Jana said, I'm sorry, Jamie, go ahead.
No, go on, Mike.
I was just going to just follow up on what Jana said about, even though she didn't do anything wrong or there was no wrongdoing on her part stepping outside of our marriage, the fact that she's willing to come to me and say, hey, so-and-so texted me, I didn't text him, or, you know, someone from her past or whatever it may be, or just a guy I don't know. And he texted her, she'll bring it to me and just show me. And that's just mutual respect. you know, yes, whereas yes, regardless, that's not about you're the, you know, I didn't do anything wrong, I don't have to show you anything, which understandably so was her point of view at the beginning, which anyone in her shoes would feel that way. Mm-hmm. But we're able to get to the place where she, it's just, again, it's mutual respect. It's respecting your partner. That's all it is.
Definitely. And it's not to say that, like, that's not a trust thing. To your point, I love that you said that, because right, that's a respect thing. It's like, right, yes, you two have built back trust at this point, I would say. Like, you guys may trust each other, but there's more, that's a respect thing. So that's so good, because we have boundaries around doing one-on-ones with the opposite sex. Like, how much time, yes, do we spend? Yep. Mm-hmm. And like, yes, you've got employees. Yes, you can work with people. I'm not saying you right, can't have any friends.
Don't take it to the extreme. Just
yes. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, there should be boundaries set in place as far as like the consistency in which mm-hmm, this happens. How, mm-hmm, like, at what time of the night are you texting this person? And that's not to say I don't trust Audrey and Audrey doesn't trust me. That's to say that we value something more important than that friendship.
Right. Yeah.
And that is our marriage. And this goes back, Mike, I just want to make this point. Like, we have this whole thing about like your strongest desires versus your deepest desires. And I think the bar thing is such a good analogy for this, because like your strongest desire at the moment might be like going to the bar, right? Mm-hmm. But your deepest desire, obviously, which is so cool to hear, is to be a good husband, build a block of trust with your wife, respect your marriage, and ultimately live into that freedom by saying no to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so good. Like, I'm really encouraged by that.
And it's like, I think how we say it in the book too, is like a lot of times, like, we let our strongest desires overcome our deepest desires because that's the impulsive, immediate, mm-hmm, like, quick thing that right, just seems easier at the time. But like, how do we make our deepest desires be the ones that overcome our strongest yeah, desires?
And our deepest, like, desires are that, much more like a letter than other things. Right. They're slow. they yes, take patience. They're yes, sometimes cumbersome. They're almost yep, never convenient.
Right.
I love that whole strongest desire versus deepest desire. Yeah. I like that a lot. That's yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
We're stealing that.
Yeah, yeah, go steal for it. It's take yours. It. Run it. We probably stole it from someone else along the
I'm
way.
I'm sure.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But going off of that, like, what you guys, I mean, I know boundaries, like, it's such a thing, but are there things that you guys have, rhythms in your marriage or ways that you guys have sort of, you know, how do you guys play together and bond and have romance in your marriage now? Like, let's get out of the... Let's get out of the hard stuff for a second.
Yeah.
And well, I think just the everyday, like, everyday life, we do a really good job of working as a team. And I think that in itself coincides with fun. Like, as much as, you know, doing dishes and cooking may not sound fun, we actually have fun doing it. Cause like, my mom loves cooking. I love cleaning. Like, so it's like, we're able to like, just even bond with doing simple things like that. Obviously with two kids, it's hard to go out, but
yeah,
you know, doing intentional time for each other, you know, Mike's planning a date night, I think, right?
Yeah.
Coming up.
Right. And Jana's personality, yes, because I told her the other day I was going to plan a date night and she hasn't heard any updates about it. So now she's like, wait, are we still happening? Doing it? Like, why haven't I gotten an itinerary
yet? Dude,
like,
that's me 100%.
That is so
I'm like, just let your man take care of this. Like, I got it. It's going to be okay.
Like, we switch off planning Valentine's Day and planning our anniversary every year. And this year, Audrey didn't hear anything about until the day
he
before.
He knows it's his year to plan Valentine's Day, right? Like, he knows.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
and I heard it like 100 times. I'm like
babe, it's just, your year. Like you said, know? Mike. Like,
like you said, Mike. I was like, let your man handle it. Like, I got it.
Got to give him a little bit more credit sometimes.
Yeah.
The timelines between female totally, and male is just completely off.
Yeah.
I know, but I think, like, you know, the other night, like, Michael was like, let's have a glass of wine on the couch and just connect. I think just talking and connecting and putting the phone down, like we said, and just catching up about things, not just that we see around the house. So it's like, hey, what's going on in your world that, like, I don't know about?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which it's hard to get lost in that, especially, I'm sure you guys know, like, doing so much kind of business or work together, it's, you know, if it's not about the kids, it's like, what else are you talking about? If you're just talking about work and getting caught up in the schedules and all that. So, but you have friends, you still text people, you still have other conversations with people that they're not a part of. So to be able to connect with one another and make that intentional time, you know, it's not all fancy date nights and great restaurants and this and that, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, that was great when we had maybe just our daughter, just Jolie, and we had one kid. Well, now we have two.
So. Yeah, enjoy the one kid, guys. Really enjoy that.
Yeah.
We are. It's we're milking
really,
it.
It's really easy. You don't realize how easy it is until you
have I know.
I bet. I would. I can only imagine. And then, like, three, you're outnumbered. Like, what do you do then?
He's snipping it up next week.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, it's cool. It's encouraging to hear you guys doing that and just like setting aside the time for that, because I think, you know, obviously we can totally relate to you guys. We only have one daughter right now so far, but just on the level of working together. And I know like you guys have so many things going on. Your hands are in so many different fires, and like Jana, just hearing your, you know, what you guys have done and accomplished already. And now Mike, you stepping into that world and doing the podcast together. And I know you guys have other entrepreneurial things that you guys are doing. And I know for Jer and I, it can a lot of the times, like our date nights are dreaming up the next idea. And, and not that that's bad. Like we love
we get
to do that. And we see it as a blessing. We try not to get down on ourselves for talking too much about work, because it's a blessing and we love it. Like, why would we not?
Sure.
But on the other sense, like we, I don't know if you guys have anything like this. It sounds kind of like maybe your wine, glass of wine in the evening is similar, but we have this thing every Sunday night. We talked about this, I think maybe it was before the podcast even started. So, but we have this thing called the Mayor Journal, and it's basically our time to just connect and communicate about stuff from the week that maybe we never had a good time to talk about it. And it's our time to talk about not necessarily work things, not necessarily kid family scheduling things, but hey, Jeremy, what brought you joy this week? And what was something that was hard for you this week? And, you know, what's a dream, craving, or desire that's been on the forefront of your mind this week? Those are three of the questions. And they're the same six questions every week. We've been doing it for 5 years. Just like, it's such a simple, easy way to connect. But I think just like what you guys are saying, like having that time to like, it's not elaborate. It's not this romantic date night thing. It's literally like us in our bed with this journal. Mm-hmm. It sometimes takes 10 minutes, you know, we write down these answers and that's it. But it's like so vital to just have that time of like,
yeah. Well, going back to what Mike said too, though, like it doesn't need to be spontaneous.
Right.
Scheduling things is like, it's how you keep, it goes back to the block building they were talking. It's like, that's the consistency of it all.
Yes.
Like you need to schedule it.
Yep. Consistency.
And we have to mirror what you guys doing. We had a check-in that we do. We actually haven't been very consistent recently because the whole house has been sick the last like 2 weeks.
Oh,
but
no, yeah. That's the worst.
The acronym is Phanos, and we talk about, we share feelings. We give each other affirmations. We express any needs that we have and anything that we might need to own.
That's so good.
So it's really cool. It's a great way to alleviate any passive aggressiveness or something that you felt dismissed earlier in the day, or just a chance for you to own something that instead of for it, you know, building up inside of you or your partner, just to be like, look, I was a little defensive or I was a little short with you on this. I'm sorry, or whatever it may be. So that's something that, you know, we need to get back into more consistently because we haven't been.
Yeah, because I've been super passive the past week. So we haven't been able to check in. So
we're writing that down because that's amazing.
Yeah. What was the A? F for feelings.
Affirmations. N is needs. And then O is own. And then the S is for like sobriety. So for that aspect. So like for Jana, she just says the first four letters. For me, I check in about, hey, I went to this meeting this week, or I have my group, I have this, I have that. So she knows kind of what the plan is for that week.
Good. But man, love that. That's
15
a good
second
one.
Rewind on the podcast. Re-listen to that again. Yeah, no, that's amazing.
That's a good one.
So good.
Well, guys, we're kind of closing up on our time now. But this has been awesome. I wanted to
thank you so much, you guys. Seriously,
we really.
I love everything you guys do, and I just you're a very inspiring couple. So,
thank you. Yeah. Well, so are you guys. So we're excited to come on your guys' show pretty soon too.
We can't wait, and
we really hope
it works out where you guys can be in studio because that'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be awesome.
Totally.
And I mean, with you, if you guys are in, we'll definitely just dedicate a whole episode where it's just us just.
Boom.
Talking about all the things that we pretend we figured out in marriage.
Yeah.
You know, and letting everyone know.
Definitely. Well, I wanted to end real quick with just kind of a quote from our book and then ask you guys kind of one closing question. And then maybe we got these.
We have our rapid fire questions, but you guys can just,
we could
2 minute fire rapid right fire at the end here, but kind of the final question for you guys.
So we believe that everyone is in the process of writing a love story. Maybe you're single and writing an exciting prologue. Maybe you're dating and have just begun the first chapter, or maybe you're married and on chapter 15, wherever you are at in your love story, protect it, be intentional, get creative and stay faithful. Question. What is an encouragement you guys could give the readers and listeners that will inspire them to pursue a love story that is creative, intentional, and faithful? What does it mean for you to pursue a love letter life?
Honey?
I'm going to say we all deserve to have the great love. So give yourself grace, give yourself empathy, give the person that you're dealing with empathy and support.
That's good.
Support. I love that. Awesome. Babe, you want to fire on these short three questions?
Let's do it. Rapid fire, speed round. All right, guys. Mike, you go first on this one. Ready?
Okay.
What is your morning routine?
Or do you guys have one?
Feed our son, get our daughter up for school, make her lunch, feed them breakfast. And that's about it.
And out the door.
Food, food, food. So yes. It's kids all morning, and then we go about our day.
Jumping into it, yeah.
Jana, what about you? Same?
So bad. Yeah. I'm going to change it, but I usually look at Instagram first, which is awful. So I would like to change that and look at my devotion book, which I'd have to probably set my alarm to do before my baby wakes up. So yeah, I'm going to work on that. But yeah, yes. Baby, kid, 24/7.
Boom. What's the best, have you guys discovered a life hack that's been helpful? That would be helpful for us
or anybody.
A life hack.
Someone told us
your favorite life hack. Oh my gosh. Yeah. What was
someone told
one?
Us the other day, you can, which I don't know how we didn't know this, but you can click down on the space bar and use it as a cursor.
Yeah. To move.
To move. That was we didn't know changer. That. And like we live on our phones.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He's showing me that right now.
I'm showing
and the
it
black
to her.
And the black and white mode on your phone. Someone that had one, that.
Yeah.
There's just been some funny ones.
Our life hack is a handheld mini vacuum to clean up all the baby mess. Yes.
Oh, that's everything.
Dude, that is my life. Black and Decker, handheld vac. I have it like on our kitchen counter all the time so I can just, because we don't have a dog and we have a toddler. So it's like.
Yeah. Anyway.
I would probably say my, what's that called? Roomba.
Oh yeah, Roomba. Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Roomba or the
I call
the,
it Jorge.
The Mr. Clean, the magic eraser.
Oh, Mr. Clean. I love Mr. Clean.
The magic eraser with handprints on the wall and all that with kids and everything. Just
yeah, that's
takes
good.
It right out.
That's good. Good. All right, Rose and Thorn for the week. Just shoot us a high or low from the week before we send you guys off.
Low for the week?
Yeah, we call them roses and thorns.
Yeah.
Essentially, they're highs and lows.
Highs and lows, roses and thorns.
It's just our tricky way of saying it.
All right. My low of the week is not being able to breathe right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a bummer.
And my high of the week is being able to connect with you guys.
Boom.
Oh, that's so sweet.
My low of the week was probably us missing yesterday on our conversation.
Yeah.
We try to communicate. It was a miss.
It was a miss. Yeah.
And yeah. It didn't go great.
Well, we had one of those yesterday too, actually.
Yeah, there you go. But see, the good thing is that people will realize is when you do the work, your rebound time is significantly shorter, which has been the biggest thing we've noticed.
That's a good note.
Yep. That's good. Yeah. It's good. What's your rose?
I mean, I do have to mirror Jana. This time with you guys has been fantastic.
Boom.
You guys are too nice.
So, I mean, it's been awesome.
Yeah, guys, really this was really fun.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much. This is an honor. And I know our listeners, there's going to be so many people that are going to be so refreshed by just the things that you guys have had to say and so encouraged and so met where they're at. Cause I know a lot of your guys' struggles are so relatable.
Yeah. You guys are doing some.
So thank you for being so
cool
honest.
Stuff.
Thank you guys for having us. We really appreciate it. Hey. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, we'll see you soon. Real quick, where can people find you?
Oh, yeah.
At Kramer Girl is basically Mike and ours.
I don't do social media, so anything Janet has, I'm basically on.
Yeah. So at Kramer Girl is my Instagram, and then Wind Down Podcast on iHeartRadio.
And that's WHINE.
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect.
We'll awesome. You guys, this awesome. Has been
Thanks,
this
guys.
Has been
Bye, pleasure. Guys. Talk yeah. to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Awesome. All righty.
All right. Well, that was our conversation with Mike and Jana. And I just love, I love them, but I love that they took the road less traveled. And I think that takes a ton of strength and courage. And I think we can all learn from their story, draw inspiration from it. And I hope that their story and their vulnerability to tell it inspires you, gives you hope, makes you feel, I don't know, less alone.
Yeah. Yeah. We wanted to bring on, you know, people with all different kinds of love stories that have been through all different kinds of hard things.
But that are doing it well.
Exactly.
And I think so they're doing it really well.
We were super just stoked to have them on.
Yep. So hope awesome you guys to love talk this episode. To them. For sure.
Wanted to remind you guys of one important thing before we say goodbye to for this week. We always buy five of you guys coffee every single time a new episode drops. So all you got to do right now is pick up your phone, take a screenshot of this week's episode or today's episode rather,
yep.
and share it to your Instagram stories. And don't forget to tag Jeremy and myself as well as Behind the Scenes Podcast. That's all you got to do to be entered to win coffee on us. Yes. So take a quick second and take a screenshot, save it to your phone, upload it to your IG stories. We love seeing feedback from you guys about the episode. So share a little something and tag us and you're entered to win. And we always pick five winners yep. at the end of every podcast day.
And keep an eye out on your DMs, because how we do that is we comb through them all and we pick five, and then we'll DM you, ask for your email address, and then we'll just email you your gift card. So, all right, we will see you guys in
Tuesday.
A couple days. All right, have a good one.